Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DDT Archives Top Shelf. I am your best friend, everybody's best friend, Greg. With me, as always, is the Capo Regime of the podcasting world, my tag team partner in podcasting, Chris. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, dude? Ready to have some fun. We're not going to shoot on anybody this week. We're just going to talk great wrestling, have a lot of fun, and we are going to take some shots.
We are going to take some shots later on. We got a lot to cover in a short time. Coming up later on the show, you're going to hear our panel interview we did with the crew from Camp Leapfrog. So on IWTV, which was a whole lot of fun. So please stick around after we wrap up with this. We're going to go right over to that. Why don't you talk about that for a little bit and who we had on and what we talked about?
Camp Leapfrog is absolutely one of my favorite things to come out of 2020. I had the privilege of sitting down with Kaya McKenna. And when we sat down, when we talked Camp Leapfrog, Kaya was glowing. When I interviewed Devontis, when we talked Camp Leapfrog off the air, he was glowing. Greg and I decided we need to do a special because we love Camp Leapfrog. We are part of the Camp Leapfrog family. So reached out to Kaya, said, hey, can we make this happen? She said, absolutely. We had Brad join in, which was incredible. He is the owner of the camp, if you are unaware and haven't watched. If you are unaware, it is available on IWTV. You should definitely watch it without a doubt. There are five-day free trials all over the place. One day we should get a DDT Archives one. We're trying. Maybe they'll listen now. But definitely Brad came in, jumped on. We were lucky enough to be joined by Ref Gina, who just – what an incredible human being, and told wonderful stories. And then the man, the myth, the legend himself, the founder of Camp Leapfrog, Chris Levin, joined us in it. And just what an off the wall and absolute blast we had with the Camp Leapfrog panel. We can't wait for you to hear it. You're going to love it. It is different. It is fun. And, you know, for a year that's been challenging for so many, there are bright spots. And Camp Leapfrog is 100% one of those bright spots.
Absolutely. It was such a fun chat with all those guys. And so you'll hear that at the back end of this episode. So but we're going to get into some stuff, some results from over the weekend and things we got coming up this week on IWTV. So, speaking of Chris Levin, he reffed pretty much every match at ICW this past weekend. What were your thoughts on that show, man? I know you were watching.
ICW No Holds Barred was friggin' incredible. I absolutely love it. You know, Akira, who we're going to have on in January, what an up-and-coming star that dude is. Just absolutely incredible. Our friend Riley Madison with Alex Ocean, who we're interviewing next week. Unfortunately, we had some stuff go on and had to move that to next week, but can't wait to talk to Alex. Their storyline with Casanova was incredible. Unfortunately, Casanova broke or fractured his elbow in that match, which sucks, but just incredible stories. And then here's the thing. I made my wife watch the Brandon Kirk, Danny DeMonto match.
Yeah.
And originally she wanted to watch the Synergy Casey Catal match, but unfortunately you can't rewind if you haven't had it on the whole time. So as a result, we had to flip on ICW, and lo and behold, there's Brandon Kirk and Casey Catal and Robin watched it. She's scarred for life. She goes, her quote was, Chris, I thought Brandon had blonde hair when I met him last week. And I go, Robin, that's not hair dye. That's blood. And she was like, oh. And then he was lit on fire. She's like, your friend is on fire, Chris. And I go, yeah, I know. He'll be okay. And then Casey getting absolutely destroyed by DeMonto.
That was hard to watch.
it was, but deep down, and we love Casey and Brandon. Like, they are They are family without a doubt. And we feel the love right back from them. But oh my God, that was incredible. And you know how much she loves it. So therefore it makes it that much more enjoyable.
It was funny. I was actually talking to her today and I said to her, I was like, you know, I was watching that match this morning and all I kept staring at, knowing what I know now, I just kept staring at your shoes because she wore her white sneakers to a deathmatch show and got them pretty bloodied up. And she was upset about that. But that cracked me up something fierce. But yeah, that match was awesome. I love the Christmas tree death match between Neil Diamond Cutter and Jeff Cannonball. Huge fan. I'm obsessed with Jeff Cannonball's soda reviews. It is one of my favorite follows on social media. If you haven't seen them, check it out. It is so funny.
Reach out to him. Get him on. That'll be your job.
That'll be my
job. You can't screw that up. He's Jeff Cannonball, man. He's the most loving, wholesome dude ever, and he's really close with Brandon, so you can't fuck this one up.
Okay. You know I can totally fuck this up.
If you can fuck it up, I'll fix it. Okay. And we'll have the struggles help us out, which reminds me.
There we go. I was going there next.
We have to absolutely shout out the struggles, Ron Nimini. You guys are fucking incredible. The fact that the struggles was gracious enough to not only put our show over, but our individual Twitter handles. Just what a great dude. Their commentary was incredible. They tell such good stories, and it is legit nothing but love for that whole crew. And it goes from Danny owning and running the company all the way down through the people cleaning up after each match. Like, can't say enough good things about ICW No Holds Barred. Like, really enjoy it. They are a real big part of why I've grown to really enjoy deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah, no, me too. And I enjoyed the show. I skipped around a little bit just because I wanted to watch stuff first before, like, I know for time purposes, you know, when it was on, it just popped on demand like yesterday. So for time reasons before, I wasn't able to watch it live. I was working Saturday night, but, you know, so I kind of bopped around and watched most of it. And I'm telling you, man, you know me, you know what I like. I like this. I don't know what's happening to me. There's changes are coming over me, but I'm starting to really enjoy having deathmatch wrestling kind of inserted into my wrestling watching schedule. Because it, like you said, it's a change of pace for me, but it's good and it engages me. Yes, does it help that there's friends of ours on the show? Yeah, that'll get me in the door, but it's a lot of people that, you know, I enjoy watching, like John Wayne Murdoch. I love his work. I forgot that we booked Akira until you just said it like 2 minutes ago. I was like, hey man, I was watching it today and I'm like, oh man, that guy's really good. And now I'm really excited that he's coming on the show. I just totally forgot about that.
Well, I mean, in fairness, we have a really booked January that's costing us $0.
$0?
$0.
Oh, man. It's the only way to market it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. No,
like, legitimately, it has been so much fun working, you know, kind of watching those guys. And talk about guys that were so gracious and excited to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, cannot wait to have some of those guys on. Did invite some others, haven't heard back yet. You know, I'm sure I'm sitting in purgatory, but you know, we're gonna keep trying to bring in those best guests. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure if we hit up struggles, he would put in a word for us in a second.
Oh yeah.
But we like to kind of try to do it on our own. Like, we've done very well, you know, just on the word of mouth. And look, I'm not ashamed to ask for help when we need it. Right now we're lucky enough to be in a spot where we're in good shape.
No, for sure. And it's been fun to kind of see this unfold and the respect that we've earned through the performers themselves is something that you can't really, you know, I can't fathom that it's working out the way it has, because it's just been so much fun. What else were you watching this weekend?
I watched a little bit of everything. I watched a little bit of the Women's Garden State Invitational.
Didn't get a chance to see any of that yet, so I don't want to. I don't want to do it an injustice by speaking ill of, not speaking ill, but like, you know what I mean, like not being informed because it hasn't popped up on demand yet, and I wouldn't have a chance to watch it. So, what of it did you see, and what did you enjoy?
So first off, Faye Jackson is a star.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for you to watch that tag team match. It is so awesome. But just here's what I'll say, because I want to wait for you to watch it to really discuss it, because we love Synergy and we want to make sure we give them everything because they've given us so much. It is a groundbreaking show. The Women's Garden State Invitational, the first time ever that they did this, and it was a diverse group of women representing everybody. It was filmed by women, announced by women, commentated by women, ref by women. It is such a powerful message that Synergy put out there. And you can't say enough great things about Colin giving them the platform, Tarik Calloway and Faye Jackson and Ariella Nix, who we're going to have on and can't wait to talk to her. Like, just, they did such a wonderful job and they should all be incredibly proud of themselves. And yeah, I mean, listen, I've never been prouder to be a fan of Synergy Pro Wrestling, and the fact that they spotlighted women's wrestling, it's awesome.
Absolutely. And I guess we'll just hit pause on that one and talking about a little bit, talking about it until I get to get a chance to see it. So, but I'm really looking forward to getting to watch that when it pops up on demand on IWTV. Some of the things that are coming up this weekend too, are, actually, before we get to that, like, why don't we talk a little Paradigm and what they're doing with this, Unified Rules kind of tournament, these empty arena shows, because they did that filming last weekend, and it, you know, from all we've been hearing from our buddies over there, this is some pretty heady stuff. So what are you looking forward to with that, you know, whenever that's going to air?
Oh my god, first off, let's talk Akira, man.
Yeah,
he's gonna be there, can't wait. Hoodfoot. See him in a different style, it's gonna be awesome. You got Hoodfoot, you got Chase, like, our dudes are at Paradigm.
Yeah.
Like
Jordan Blade, who is on the Synergy show. She's in it. Yep.
Yeah. Dude, I am psyched for what Paradigm is doing. You know, cannot shout them out enough. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Bro Rogan. you know, Doug's doing a great job over there. Like, just Paradigm Pro Wrestling is killing it. They are another company, and I wish we were a little closer, because we had a back and forth with them when they heard last week's show, and 100% I mean it. We're going to get to you, or you're going to get to us, and we are going to go out. We're going to have a couple of rounds. We're going to have some dinner. We're going to just talk wrestling, talk announcing, talk everything, because those dudes are our friends, like, so, straight up, like, friends. Yeah.
Oh, they're the best. And you know what? It was just announced, I guess, about a half hour ago on social media that the first episode of the Contender Series will be on indie wrestling on IWTV 10 p.m. next Wednesday. Very excited. So,
yeah, I am promoting the shit out of that.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. So I'm really excited for that stuff coming up from Paradigm. They, like you said, they've been so good to us, the guys over there, and I'm really excited for this new thing, and it is a new thing. I love the Unified Rules. I love this concept and doing things a little bit differently, because, hey, what are you trying to do to stand out? What do you want from your wrestling nowadays? And you get to get a little bit something different, and you know, it's wrestling's like a buffet. So you just kind of, we're going to this station now, and I'm really looking forward to it. All right. What do we got coming up this weekend? There's a couple of great shows coming up this weekend. The big one, I think, is on Saturday, for me, I think, is on Saturday night with Limitless. They're doing their tournament, the Vacationland Cup 2020 Limitless out of Maine. Our buddies at Team Sea Stars, they're in a tag team match, Ashley and Delmi.
I love those ladies. I love the everybody in the Legit Sea Dogs. They are incredible. Obviously, Layla is killing it on AEW lately. You know, like, can't be happier for her. Delmi and Ashley being on Impact consistently. Mm-hmm. Oh man, so happy for them. They deserve it all. And Davey, like, I felt bad that she had to pull out because of quarantine stuff with Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. You know, and not being able to be in the GSI or women's GSI because she is incredible, dude. Mm-hmm. Talk about an underrated performer. Yeah. Like, you know, like, she is legitimately an amazing women's wrestler. And, you know, as are Delmi and Ashley. And, you know, make sure you order their Christmas cards. They're available on the Big Cartel. I just tweeted it out earlier today. You know, support them. Support those people. They've been good to us. You know, just to put it in perspective, when I reached out to Delmi publicly to congratulate her and Ashley on being in the tag team title tournament, she put us over. Like, you know, like, she didn't have to. She could have just said thanks or liked it. Like, I can't say enough great things about Delmi. She's incredible. So is Ashley. They're just two badass women that just kick ass and take names.
No, for sure. And who doesn't love a good tournament? A one-night tournament, right?
Love tournaments.
It's the best. And it's going to be, you know, and there's four first-round matches, and the winners of those matches are going to be in a fatal four-way for the Vacationland Cup 2020, and it's going to be for the Limitless Wrestling World title. So I can't wait for that. That's coming up on Saturday. Actually, on right now, as recording time, our buddies over at Action Wrestling, Bangers Only, is going on right now. So I kind of have it on in the background just to kind of keep an eye on closely and watch that. So maybe we'll talk about that next week for sure as we move forward. And then, you know, before we get into shots, just like, MLW's doing some crazy cool stuff. Were you able to watch it tonight at all?
I have not watched it yet. I'm looking forward to it. I did see our boy Mads Kruger killing it.
Yeah,
love that dude.
Yeah,
like, can't wait to have Mads Kruger on, because like, it's gonna be so much fun. Like, I heard he's a really good dude, little crazy, but you know, I've known him for a while now, and I consider that man a friend, and I'm glad he's on our fucking team, because holy shit,
hell yeah. And it looks like he's gonna be challenging Alex Hammerstone for the open weight title at the Kings of the Coliseum show. That's January 6th on YouTube. So they're like, MLW just came back and they're giving you a pay-per-view for free on January 6th. Does it get better than that? And then the other thing that came out tonight, not to spoil anything for you, but can I for a little bit?
You're going to tell me that Brandy and Cody are having a baby? I know.
No, I don't care about that. This is MLW time right now. Stop.
Just checking.
We're getting two former guests of the podcast are looking like they're going to face off very soon, and that's going to be Jordan Oliver and Simon Gotch.
I saw that on social media. Yeah, can't wait.
How great is that going to be? And then the finals for the Opera Cup are set. That's next week's Fusion that's going to be on there. So I can't put over MLW enough. I know we're very indie-centric here, and that's fine. But MLW, if you're disenfranchised with, like, the major wrestling companies now, if you're not getting what you need out of Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, if you're not getting what you need out of AEW, MLW has it all, and they're doing it the right way, and it's a very digestible show. And I say that digestible, which kind of is going to lead me into one of my shots questions for you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint. But you know, they're doing such a great job. Hey, and the other match that they're announcing for that Kings of the Coliseum show is Lio Rush versus Myron Reed for the middleweight championship. Like, come on. We can't – they are just banging on all cylinders now, and they've been back for a month. So, please, if you're not watching MLW, watch them on YouTube. Watch them on any platform that they're on. It's my favorite wrestling show, and I will continue to talk about it as long as we have this podcast. Anything else before we move on? Are you ready for some shots, buddy? We're kind of flying through the show.
I am ready for some shots.
All right. You want to ask your question last?
Yes, I do.
All right. So the first one is wrestling centric for your shots tonight. And it has to do a lot with like our wrestling watching and what we're into and out of nowadays. And I guess one of the bigger stories this week was like news coming out that WWE sent Keith Lee and Otis and a couple other people back down to the PC to kind of polish them a little bit. And people lost their shit. That's fine. But you see a lot of people, everyone's just seems to be complaining about WWE. We aren't watching that much. I dabble. But I'm going to ask you this question for your first shot. What would it take for you to be invested again in a WWE show full time?
36 hours in a day.
Yeah.
That's honestly, it. I'll come back around to it. I always do. I feel like I'm not invested. I think once the crowd comes back, I will be again. You know, right now the only fan voice they're hearing are the smart marks to bitch and moan on social media.
Yeah.
You know, like say what you will. They may not do it the way you want them to do it, but they do hear the fans in live attendance and they maneuver accordingly. They don't give you everything you want in the first helping, nor should they. But they do listen. And I do think that's going to change my feelings on it. Like, I feel like they need an audience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, independent wrestling, part of the fun is, like, the crowds are in the between, like, 25 and 150 in most of those buildings. But they're filled. You know, socially distanced but filled, and they make the noise and they do what they're supposed to do and they have a feel. WWE is supposed to have a different feel. And I feel like right now that's being lost because of the lack of crowd. So I do think when that comes back, I will jump in. And I'll say this, when some of our former guests make their way into NXT, and they will, it's gonna happen, and then I think magically I'll be invested again, because as we've said all along, we have become so invested in every one of our guests, man. Like, yeah. Legitimately, all I want to see is everybody we've ever talked to or has taken the time to message us be successful. Like, there's enough opportunities out there. Like, shit, I was talking to Masha the other day, she's still killing it in Japan. You know, like, just killing it. And I'm so proud of her and so happy for her. Like, she'll be on TV one day, and you know what? I won't turn it off. You know, like, that's the answer. Either the crowd's back or somebody we have interviewed and are invested in gets on TV.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing. I think there's just so much of it. There's almost too much to digest. I think they'd have to, for me, they would have to maybe scale down a little bit to make it more digestible. But that's what YouTube is for. That's what social media is for. I think that's why you're seeing the declines in ratings. And I don't take much stock in ratings anymore, especially during football season. And it's 2020 and you watch TV differently than you did in 1998. Like, I don't understand, like, why there's this philosophy of ratings when, you know, that was such a big deal back in the day when TiVo didn't exist. And now it's like people watch TV differently. And for me, am I going to sit down and watch a 3-hour Monday Night Raw when I could kind of pick and choose what segments I want to watch on YouTube? Cause they're up right away and you can watch the whole show pretty much on social media and see what you want. And then, you know, pick and choose what you want from a pay-per-view. It just makes some more sense to me. So I think it's making that product more digestible for a busy wrestling fan's needs. And that'll probably bring me back. And like you said too, crowds will help, people we know on the shows will help, because we'll definitely be there for that. And yeah, we'll see what happens come 2021 when things start opening up again, hopefully, God willing. All right, second shot. Last week we did Christmas movies. Tonight I'm going to ask you about Christmas songs. What is your favorite Christmas song? What is your least favorite Christmas song?
I have two. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
100% is one of the two that I absolutely love. It makes me sad. It's my grandmother, mm-hmm. but I love it. The other one, and it's fairly recent. Dropkick Murphys, and let me pull the name of this so I don't screw it up. Hold on. It is The Seasons Upon Us by the Dropkick Murphys. It is absolutely hysterical. I enjoy it very much. In terms of Christmas songs I don't like, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. It is so played out. I am sick of it. I am over it. I don't want to ever hear it again.
That's fair. That's all right. I think my favorite is definitely Frank Sinatra's version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Doesn't get better than that for me. Least favorite? That's tough. I think Baby It's Cold Outside is the dumbest song ever written.
Yeah, it's creepy,
it's
isn't
so
it?
So creepy. It's so stupid. It's annoying. Oh, that song sucks so bad. Definitely it's Baby It's Cold Outside.
All but, I want for what is it? I want a hippopotamus for Christmas is up there too.
What about Dominic the Donkey? You like that one? That's a good one.
Yeah, that is the reason why I wasn't allowed to name my future son Dominic. She told me it reminds her of the donkey. I asked her, did she call her grandma? Did she ever get chased by a reindeer? And apparently that...
Run over by a reindeer? Oh, my God. Yeah. Terrible. Well, that goes with everything anytime you're naming kids, because it's like, you know, you don't want to name a kid Jeremy because of Pearl Jam. I remember when... we brought up the name Mason when we weren't sure what we were having this time around before Tessa was born. And my wife's like, what about Mason? And I was like, every kid I've ever met named Mason was an asshole. I was like, I don't want to deal with that right now. And no offense to the Masons out there of the world. I'm sorry. If I haven't met you, it's okay. But like for me, it was just, that was the name that just did not click with me.
We went back and forth. And especially being a teacher,
yeah,
the number of names that have been ruined.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And you know, peek behind the curtain, my wife's family is very traditional in their culture. Mm-hmm. So they name for the dead. So the firstborn kid had to be a D first name and an L middle name. So great. My kid has the initials of downloadable content.
That's awesome.
But yeah. By the time they're old enough to know that, downloadable content won't be a thing, so it'll be okay.
Okay. It's fair enough. They'll be able to download it onto their glasses.
The name will be told later. I think I told you already.
You did not. I'll wait.
I'll tell you after the show.
That's fine. All right. We have a little twist today. You have the third shot question, and it's for me.
I have the mind eraser shot question of the day. Now, this is a multi-part question, Greg.
Ooh.
Now, you are going to pick your favorite wrestler that fits holiday movie roles.
Okay. Are you going to ask me the roles? And then
I'm
going to
give you the role and you have to give me the wrestler. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different characters, and you are going to name them.
You are out of your
mind. That is why when you said I got to pick one, I was like, this is a great one.
That is a great question. I'm not even going to lie.
All right, so we're going to start. Who plays the Grinch?
Ooh, wrestler that plays the Grinch. You'd have to be like a weaselly, slimy heel type guy. That's a good one. You know what? I'm going to go Roddy Piper.
Okay.
He's got the face for it.
Okay. Your next one. Cindy Lou Who.
Ooh, Cindy Lou Who. Oh, I got to give it to our friend Ellie.
Okay. All right. Santa from the Tim Allen Santa Claus.
Like, is it Tim Allen the businessman or Tim Allen as Santa Claus?
Tim Allen converting to Santa Claus.
That's a good one. Dutch Mantel.
Ooh, I like it. Rudolph.
The red-nosed reindeer?
Yep.
How could a person play a deer?
Maybe you use another animal that's been in wrestling.
Oh, God. That's a terrible idea. I don't know, man. How many animals have been in wrestling? Okay.
A lot.
I'll go Frankie the Parrot. Coco Beware's Parrot. He'll play Rudolph.
Okay. Frosty.
Ooh, Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman. Glacier.
Okay. Scrooge.
Oh, man. That's definitely... Ooh, that's... You know what? Who would be a better Scrooge than... I know the obvious answer would probably be like Vince McMahon, but I think Eric Bischoff would have been a way better Scrooge than Vince McMahon would ever be.
Okay. I like it. And last but not least,
yeah,
Buddy the Elf.
Buddy the Elf. Wow. Somebody who's overly excited, slightly annoying. Wow, that's like the toughest one. All these other ones were surprisingly easier than I thought they would be.
Why do you think I did it last?
I know I did it last. Do you have answers, by the way, as I stall?
I can give you answers.
You didn't make your own answers?
Oh, hell no. I just thought of the question.
Oh, okay, Buddy the Elf. Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. So, all right. For Scrooge, Brandon Kirk.
Is he miserly?
Well, he plays it on Synergy. Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah.
AJ Lee.
It's a good one.
Frosty. King Kong Bundy.
Damn it, that's a great one.
Rudolph. Matilda.
Yeah, I figured you were going there.
Santa. Otis.
He's too young.
The Grinch. This one is a little tougher. However, upon thinking about it, I really narrowed it down to a couple of people. And I look at my wall and I say, Who could be a Grinch? And it became very clear to me that Eddie Guerrero would be an incredible Grinch.
That is a good one. That's absolute great answer. Eddie Guerrero.
Buddy the Elf is our friend, Joey Silver.
Very good. Very good. All fine answers to your question. Great question, by the way, man. That's very creative of you.
I thought
so. Very, very creative of you. That's awesome. Do you have a Kevin McAllister?
Good one. A Kevin McAllister. Hornswoggle.
That's good, too. All right, man. Great question. Really enjoyed that part of shots. We'll tweet that one out.
Hell
see,
yeah.
See if we can get a response for that, because that'd be pretty cool. So just a couple more things. We're going to do some shout outs and plugs right now. And then we're going to get out of here and throw it over to our Camp Leapfrog panel. Really excited for you guys to hear that. Once again, the struggles. Thank you so much at the struggles 23 on social media for shouting us out on the ICW No Holds Barred show. That was just amazing. Really appreciate that. Our guest this week on the podcast on Monday, Shaheem Ali, who was incredible. That is really, if you haven't listened to that yet and you're listening to this, go listen to that interview Chris did with Shaheem. It is eye-opening. It is insightful. It is really an amazing conversation from an incredible performer that I don't know about you, but I'm itching to see him back in a ring sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Love Shaheem Ali. Dude is such a great human being. We've had several difficult but great conversations. I love talking to Shaheem. I feel like I come away a better human being every time I do.
Yeah. And then the other one we released today with Zach Romero, which was really a fun chat with Zach from IndyCast and Punk Pro Wrestling and Fully Gimmicked. He was great to have on. And I know you've dealt with him. And speaking of Fully Gimmicked, see what I did there? You can go get our t-shirt at fullygimmicked.com/. Is it Indie Lounge or the DDT Archives is the page? I don't know.
It's on their main page. It is one of their new released. You can't miss it. It's also my pinned tweet. Look for a second logo to drop, hopefully before the end of the week, this week. Very excited. Really, really excited to be working with Fully Gimmicked. Can't say enough great things about Zach. And JT Energy had the tweet of the day today going, I was today's years old when I realized that Zach Romero, who interviewed me for IndyCast, is the same guy that runs Punk Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it's a great tweet. Oh, man, that's awesome. And then another one, our friend Brittany Nicole from Elevate Pro Wrestling. She's got her store up on lookitsbrittany.com. She's got tons of merch. T-shirts, stickers, pins. She's selling them out. It's the Christmas season. Please support friends of the show. Please, as we always say, if you got to pick between buying a wrestler shirt or one of the friends of the show's merch before ours, please do that. So our highlight plug for merch this week is Brittany Nicole, who's always been great to us. So go to lookitsbrittany.com, get yourself an Elevate Pro t-shirt, get yourself a Brittany Nicole pin. She's got great stuff over there. Please support our friends. Next
also
week,
also hold up, Paradigm Pro Wrestling is working with What a Maneuver. Do not fall for their bootleg store.
Yeah.
Make sure you support Paradigm Pro Wrestling on What a Maneuver. Can't put them over enough. On top of that, you know you've made it when people are bootlegging your shit.
Yeah, absolutely. for real. So next week on the podcast, check out on Monday the 21st, Adam Priest. You've seen him on AEW. You've seen him all over the independent scene. He's amazing. He had a great time talking to Adam Priest. And then the big show on Wednesday before Christmas, our Christmas special, featuring our video game conversation, our video game panel with Steve Monster Mac, great friend of the show. Matt McIntosh, another great friend of the show. And coming in for the save at the last minute, when we had a last minute cancellation, Valentina Loca from Black and the Brave. She was amazing in a room full of older dudes talking about old school video games. She brought it that night. So we can't wait for you guys to hear that. Our Christmas special talking about video games. That's going to be next Wednesday. And also Christmas Eve, as we go, we're going to throw it to Camp Leapfrog. Christmas Eve, IWTV is their Christmas trio show. It's going to be amazing. Great stuff going on at Camp Leapfrog. Anything else you got to say before we head out of here?
Everybody enjoy your weekend. Make sure you're watching IWTV. There is something there for everyone. With that, you guys all stay safe, stay warm, have fun. Don't do anything we wouldn't do.
Absolutely. And now without further ado, please stick around, listen to our great panel interview with the crew from Camp Leapfrog. We'll see you next time, everybody.
are going all the way back. I'm talking way back to summer camp and Camp Leapfrog. How excited are you for what we're about to do?
I'm very excited. I love Camp Leapfrog. I thought it was so much fun and such a great concept. And given a chance to talk about it with the great people that produced it is, you know, amazing to me. So we have a few special guests. There's cars running behind us now, if you're hearing that, which is amazing. So who do we got in the house hanging out with us?
Well, we have none other than Kaya McKenna making her return to the DBT archives, which means I did a good job and I didn't chase her away. So I'm really proud of myself.
Congratulations.
Kaya, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you guys for having me back. I've been looking forward to it all week.
That makes me very happy. And then our other guest, he kind of needs no introduction. I'm not going to lie. Brad, how is everything going? I can't be happier to have you join us.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited. First and foremost, can I cuss on this podcast?
Of course.
Absolutely. Can we?
Hell yeah. Okay. Good. Good. I'm not the most kid friendly type person. So good.
We are two New York guys. Fuck is a comma is our punchline.
Hell yeah. Okay. Good. Good to know. Good to know.
I don't think we've got an episode where we record together where we haven't used that line. Honest.
Yeah.
That's the absolute truth.
Yeah. I like being in a place like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So let's start here. And did you guys growing up go to summer camp?
I was never fortunate enough. I was in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, so summer camp was very far away. Summer camp, the closest thing was like 2.5 hours away. And it was expensive as hell. So I didn't do that shit. I just hung out with people in the summertime. And I was free. I can't say that I'm not bummed. I've seen all these movies about summer camp, and it looks like the funnest place on earth. But I never got to experience it. It's a big bummer.
I'm actually in the same boat as Brad. Camp Leapfrog is my very first experience with summer camp. I grew up in a beach town, so like summer camp just wasn't a thing. Like my mom would take me to the beach, or we would go camping on the beach, or like, okay, oh, today's the day everybody goes to the pool and hangs out because so-and-so's mom is there, or like you just hung out with all the other kids that were in the town. There wasn't like a need, I guess, for summer camp, but
yeah.
I'm so glad that I get my fill of summer camp through Camp Leapfrog.
So
plus it's gonna get, trust me.
So I will squash the rumor that summer camp is as fun as it looks on television. I went to town camp growing up every year, and I'm pretty sure Greg was a camper with me for some of it.
I never went.
You were a fucking teacher, so you were off all summer.
Yeah, it was great.
My mom actually made me go to summer camp, and I got made fun of mercilessly at camp until we did athletic things, and then people stopped making fun of me because the chubby kid could actually play sports.
That's what's up.
It was not what it anticipated, what people make it out to be. There was no crazy shenanigans. There was, I will say this, the closest thing to summer camp we've really had in terms of movies, I worked at a swim club every summer from the time I was 14, all the way from a snack boy, all the way to being the manager at 21.
To snack man.
Man,
let me tell you, they learned a valuable lesson that summer when I was 21. Never put a 21-year-old guy in charge of a swim club because nothing good happens. But I think we made the reference to Salute Your Shorts when we had you on, Kaya. And the one thing we did, and I'm going to change the name so that we protect the guilty. My buddy, PJ, and I took Tori's underwear and put them up on the flagpole. Mind you, we were both like 20, she was 20, and they were not flattering underwear whatsoever. So needless to say, as you're all really good friends, she did not talk to us for a few weeks in the summer because of that moment.
I believe the official term was bloomers.
Bloomers.
Oh, yeah. Man. See,
I mean, I definitely would not have been happy with you guys either.
Don't say you guys. I had no part of this.
I high-fived you guys.
No. I had no part of this. I worked in the snack bar. I would eat the WWF ice cream bars and then tell but we were shady. We would hide them, and then when people would order them, I'd be like, "Oh no, we're out." And I'd be like eating them in front of them. I didn't care. Like whatever.
Yeah, fuck it.
But my
Greg is also the oldest snack boy in recorded history at
the I'm sorry. I was a snack man. And it was
usually meant for the kids that weren't old enough to be lifeguards.
I didn't want that level of responsibility. I could put stuff in a toaster, and I spent my entire summer listening to the radio and reading Maxim in there, and awesome. Whatever. It was great. It was my second job, like, for that summer. And I actually had it good because, like Chris said, all the other kids were, like, young, so they didn't drive, but I did. So I would get to work early, so I could pick where I would work. So you either had to work in the office, which was boring as hell, or the snack bar. So I would get there like an hour early before my shift and just sit in the snack bar. I was like, sorry, called it, dibs. But I always thought summer camp, and going back to what you're saying, Salute Your Shorts was great, but there was an old TV movie, and I'm aging myself horribly right now, that NBC did, and it was the crossover of all crossovers. So it had every kid from shows on all the networks. So like Urkel was in it, and the Wonder Years kids, and Full House, and all these kids, and they put them in a summer camp movie. It was called Camp Cucamonga, and it was the best. It was like the most craziest thing you'd ever saw. Look that up. It's awesome.
I mean, like, but I think the reason, like, you know, the thing that's crazy about Camp Leapfrog is I feel like every time we're, like, trying to save the camp from impending doom, right? Like, on Halloween, like, I'm trying to get Amasis out of the ring so the camp doesn't implode. I'm trying to send him back to hell and save the camp so we can keep camping. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm excited and equally terrified, you know?
How much work did it take to get Deshaun to agree to go back to being Omasis, because I know how much he wanted out of that.
He was like such a good sport, and he was so entertaining and just all about it and just making it the best it could possibly be. And to just have somebody on our team that has that attitude is amazing. Like, he's great to work with.
So let's go back all the way to the summer camp portion of it. Obviously, the idea, I'm assuming, came about because of the quarantine and not being able to put on traditional shows. With that being said, you know, how did Chris pitch it to everybody, and how quickly did everybody agree to do it?
For me, it was very quick. It was like, okay, yeah, that sounds dope. Cool. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. Chris just hit me up. We were at GCW one day, and he was like, "So I'm doing this like summer camp thing. Are you interested? Definitely come by. Like, just come by and check it out." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll come by. That sounds fun." And it just, yeah, it all fell into place from there. Very casual.
It's such an eclectic group of people too. Like, it legit comes off like a camp movie because there are so many different types of personalities and people. How much did it really turn into an actual summer camp while you guys were filming?
I mean, you do activities, you sit around, you hang out, there's like cookout food, there's brewskis. I mean, it's real easy. There's Porta Johns. It's real easy just to close your eyes and get lost and be like, fuck, I'm at summer camp. You know what I mean?
I definitely had a moment when we did the summer one where I was just sitting like on a beach towel, and I was like just eating my snacky snack, petting Still Life's dog, Kevin. And I was just like, man, this is like being at summer camp. I'm just sitting in the grass on a towel, eating a snacky snack like a small child, living my best life.
Now, did that snacky snack come from the Wawa, and why is Wawa the greatest thing ever?
The people want to know.
Oh, man. It was a bag of Cheez-Its. Very traditional, like, summer snack, right? Like, I remember, like, when we would go to the beach and stuff as a kid, my mom would always have Cheez-Its and Goldfish.
We are marks for the Wawa, like every great wrestler is.
Nah, man, I'm a sheets to throw through the
How? What is wrong with you, Brad?
They're chicken. It's just because they're chicken. The only thing I gets there is chicken. It's the only thing that's better. And that, like, it's very better than Wawa's, I think. And I'll die on that fucking hill, son. You hear me? Sheets is dominant.
Gina's here. Sheets or Wawa?
Shit. Yeah, well, I don't even know if we can clear. Okay, sorry, my bad. I don't like being put on the spot like this. What was the question again? Cheats or
Wawa?
I probably have to go with Wawa.
Yeah,
that's the right answer.
Brad's mad about that right there. There's Greg.
I'm with Brad.
Thank God.
No, I'm a Wawa girl all the way.
Wait, Greg, did you hear what I think you said?
I did. Nothing.
35 years and we're breaking up.
So that's your problem. I'm telling you, man, I was a changed man when I moved down south, and I had a Sheetz right around the corner, and their coffee is majestic, and that's where I base all of my things, all of my cares in the world are based on how your coffee is. And Sheetz coffee is better than Wawa coffee by a lot.
Out
yeah, it doesn't smell like a Wawa. It's like it. No,
hold on, time out. You're talking about the Wildwood Wawa smell. That doesn't count. It's Wildwood.
Well, it smells like the beach and Guido's in there. So yeah, I mean it's fine. But no, I'm telling you, man, I was converted when I moved down. The one thing that happened to me when I moved down south was, I was converted to Sheetz.
Dude, careful when you if you ever tweet that out, you'll lose followers.
I think when I did that guest spot on IndieCast, I may have lied to protect you, but I defended your honor. But no, I gotta say, like it's I'm Sheetz all the way. It's okay. I don't care. What are you gonna be mad at me? Go ahead. Not the first time.
Because you asked both Brad and I if we had had a summer camp experience. I'm just gonna ask Gina. Gina. Had you ever been to summer camp prior to Camp Leapfrog, or was Leapfrog your first camp experience?
No, yeah, Leapfrog was my first camp experience. Really funny, like I had my uncle and my aunt actually used to work at summer camp up in Massachusetts, and they lived at the campgrounds. So I would just go over and hang out there when other kids weren't around because I'd get impatient and just want to like climb that rock wall without waiting in line. So lines made me mad, and that's why I didn't go to camp. But I'm a camper now, and it's really weird to say that at 30. But here we are, and I'm a camper.
And Greg and I are jealous that you guys are campers and that we are not.
I would go.
Can you start pitching Chris that you guys need podcasters there besides Sam? Like, I mean, we'd love to be flies on the wall to that. So, the idea that it was, so I almost want to tie in, like, Scooby-Doo to Camp Leapfrog, because you're always trying to outdo the evildoers.
There's so, always mysteries.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, any great storytelling, there's good versus evil. Talk about how it develops for those that hadn't watched yet, and explain to them why they're stupid and need to get on this.
It's both. You get both of best of both worlds. It's entertaining when there's not wrestling going on, and when there's wrestling going on, it don't suck and it's entertaining. You know what I mean? So like we got cool, you know, whatchamacallit, segments, I guess would be the professional term. Very entertaining segments, not typical segments, so they're very different. And yeah, it's fresh as hell, I think, man. There's nothing like it out there.
It's all of us just trying to keep Killian and his goons from, like, wrecking the camp every single time. They just show up and cause total chaos.
The dicks. Yeah. They're the camp dicks, you can say.
It's all, everything is their fault.
Everything. Everything.
Yep, and Brad, why don't you talk about that match that you had at the Halloween...
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you about the hardest I've ever been hit in my life. It felt like I was shot in the head with a gun. There was just a piece of a pumpkin, and Killian picked it up and threw it like a baseball, dude. It hit me right in the forehead, and it did not break. I thought it would just explode. No, it was like a rock, man. And it hit me so hard, and I actually got kicked in the bird by one of his boys, which sucked. But he also then... I mean, I don't want to spoil shit, so I'm not going to say, like, the coolest shit that happened. You know what I mean? But it's definitely worth a watch. You watch me almost die by getting hit with a pumpkin, so it's, you know, pretty entertaining.
Wow.
And you got saved by an ECW legend a little bit. You got some help.
I did, but... Cool. See, that's... I mean, I guess if you snoozed, you lose. We can talk about it, I guess. I didn't want to, like, spoil
it's been posted on Twitter a lot, so.
Excellent gif of
good point.
That ECW legend picking up one of Killian's goons and chokeslamming him.
So high.
Straight
so
to hell.
High.
And he's
so high.
Screaming like a little girl. It's so wonderful.
He's scary to say, man. He's a big guy.
Yay. Yep.
And now we have the next event to look forward to see how this whole thing is going to, you know, maybe we might get some sort of turnaround here. I hope that, Brad, that you get your comeuppance because that ending is terrible.
I'm
happy.
I have to get justice. You know what I mean? Yeah. It even if it's just over Killian. And, but, you know, I won't let it rule my life, but I won't forget, you know? I'll always be back there waiting for my chance to beat his ass again.
As all good baby faces do. As they all do.
That's it. And, hell yeah.
And I have to be honest, Brad. You're one of my favorite characters.
Thank you very much.
Like, legit, one of my favorite campers. You're the kind of guy...
Well, technically, I'm not a camper. Technically, I own the camp.
Yeah, well, yes, but you're still... You're still a camper. Let's be real.
I mean, I guess so. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Do you still own it now? I thought
yeah,
there was stipulation to that match.
Let's see those papers.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but, it, you know.
The stipulation was the first one. I was beating Killian's ass because he opened the portal to
gotcha.
Hell in my summer camp.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Ethan Wilde, I beat that dude's ass and saved my summer camp. So it's still mine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he might come for it again. Is just what I'm saying.
You know, and if he does, I'm ready.
Careful.
You know, come knocking. I'm here.
But as owner and camper, let's call it that way. Because let's be real, you're not significantly older than the campers themselves. So I was trying to be nice, Brad.
Young entrepreneur, dude. I'm just a young entrepreneur. I own a summer camp. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean?
Listen,
cool
you were
summer camp.
Manager
home.
Of a camp at 21, right?
Yeah. The manager
he definitely
at 21.
Owned a camp at 30.
Exactly. I mean, easy peasy. The manager at a swim club at 21 is a terrible idea. I will stress this one more time.
Yeah, before the camp owner, I was actually a snack man. Yeah, that's a weird coincidence. I sold snack and I sold baggies of weed and out of there under
I
the table.
I did not ever sell weed at my place of business.
You missed stuff. You missed a fucking golden opportunity, dog. It was great. That would have been perfect. You want a bag of Skittles and a dime bag? And they'd be like, yeah.
Who's going to argue that? Sounds like the old century to me.
Gina's like, what the hell are we talking about? It's the whole beginning.
Right? Yeah.
I think I could piece it together. A little bit more personally, so I don't feel as lost.
Thank don't know.
The frog. Alien. Was it an alien
that,
or a frog costume?
It was a frog. Frog. Costume that freaked me the hell out. I was just standing in the party, like where it was, and I'm like, what the hell is that? But it was a good payoff, though. That was that was a really cool thing. And the nice thing is, like, what I like about Camp Leapfrog is that we don't, at least, like, nothing really gets, like, announced. Like, everything is a big surprise. So you really got to watch it when it comes out on IWTV to see, like, what's happening, especially if you are someone who kind of peruses Twitter as IWTV events happen live, because you might miss something. So hopefully for the one in December, you know, who knows? I don't even know what's going to happen. And I'll be there to referee. That was really cool that it ended up being a big surprise. It was a really fun match. There's a skeleton in it.
That was another
type of surprise. It was really cool, yeah. And, you know, then, of course, we had our ECW legend. I'm not going to really spoil it too much, because if people still want to catch up on the Halloween special, you'll be able to see it. It's a really cool stuff. You never know who'll show up.
Yeah, like, we get there and, like, we're like, oh, you're here? Cool. Oh, you're here? Cool. Like, it's really, like, neat, like, how we all come together, and you honestly never know who's going to show up and who you're going to see and what they're going to do and what's going to happen. Like, it's truly all up in the air.
Kind of like this podcast. We don't know who's going to request access next.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm still convinced now that Killian's going to do a run-in at some point. You know, he was scheduled to join us, but he's just being the ultimate heel.
I think that's mainly it.
Now, you have to be careful, though, because Killian does a very good Brad Rush impression.
If you say it's good, you don't know me very well, okay? I'll say this, okay? I've heard a lot worse. I'll say that. It's not awful. Yeah, I've heard a lot worse. But yeah.
Well, you never know if he's going to come in impersonating you. So you better keep your eyes open. Yeah, he probably will.
He could be asleep. Who knows where he's at right now?
Kaya, can you make that happen? Because that'd be incredible.
I will try my best to will it.
Oh, God.
I do have some powers, but we'll see. I don't know if I have the power to summon Killian.
I don't know. I did watch you throw someone into the pool without throwing them into the pool.
Yeah, kill your boys, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but remember that she was also in the Monster Battle Royal as well. So, again, if you go to IWTV.
There, catch it.
You know, there you go. We'll see
so modest. We also see a appearance from Gina herself in the Battle Royal. And it breaks my heart seeing her get thrown out.
Yeah. I actually did that whole fight with the sprained shoulder. That was painful. I tried, but I will be back as officiating and not doing all this wrestling bullshit that you guys did. I'm never gonna do that again.
If the ants just would have let you have your weapon,
I know.
Yeah. Cheap.
Freaking guys, yeah.
How dare they? Weapons in a Halloween episode? It's not right.
No, but don't worry, because there are some people who were able to sneak them in that same battle royal. I don't know how.
It's such good stuff. And it's, I mean, Greg and I have been advocating for the continuation. I want this to become a monthly episode of the show.
Monthly.
Because it doesn't get better than Camp Leapfrog. It really doesn't. Like, it has everything. Entertainment, wrestling, fun, silliness. Like, the world needs more silliness today. Like, it just, like, knowing that we were going to do this podcast made my day today.
And that's the thing. Coming from somebody who, and then Chris actually plugged it for me and told me, he's like, you just got to watch it. He didn't tell me what it was about. At first, he was just like, just trust me. He's like, just watch it. You won't regret it. And he was absolutely right. And it just, it killed me. From the first scene where Devontae and Deshaun Pratt are just making stupid little camp crafts, and then they fight, and now it's a match, and I was like, oh, this is the most brilliant thing I'd ever seen, and I loved every second of it from then on. It just hooked me right there. So whoever decided to put that first to just sink your teeth into people, it worked. Trust me. And then
it's so funny.
Yeah.
When Kai is like really encouraging him to like do well with like the arts and crafts.
Yeah.
He just slams his hands on the table. And, Devontae's also, I think, did the first match in the Halloween special as well.
Yes.
Man, back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he, you know, hopefully he will be back for our next installment. And I agree with you. I think having it be like a month or two would be really great. So, you know, if it's in the cards to do that, I think that would be the best if we can. And I'm glad that you're able to enjoy it. And you mentioned before that was kind of, that I thought was kind of neat that, you know, Chris just said, watch the show, didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, at times that's, like, kind of, like, the cool surprise part of it. You know, like, oftentimes you get the match card graphics and stuff, like, you're expecting to know what the matches are like, but here you just don't know what's going to happen. So I appreciate the little shroud of mystery.
And as an older fan that has watched a lot of stuff in times, I hate that part of wrestling now where I know what I'm going to watch before I watch it. I love that element of surprise where I just don't know what I'm getting myself into. I know what it might be, but I mean, just to sit down and watch it without having like literally having a run sheet in front of you. I mean, that's the best part. It's just, you don't like, how did you know there was going to be a tug of war that turns into a tag match? Like, how did you know? Or how did you know it was going to be a pool battle royal? Like, that's crazy to me, but it worked. It all works.
You know, I really like that we really do the summer camp thing, and like how all of the matches are set up because of something that happened at camp. You know, the friendship bracelet incident, the basketball game, the tug of war incident, you know, the pumpkin cup decorating, getting smashed, leaving abs to his match.
Costume contest.
The costume contest. Yeah, like it's all things that would be happening at camp that you would have a conflict. Then we create the match, and it really reinforces the story, and it's incredible. I love that we do that.
It just makes me jealous, because I would have just wanted to fight back in the day, and I would have gotten kicked out of camp, and my mom would have been very upset with me.
And Greg, yeah, but then we could wrestle here.
An Italian mother, you did not want her getting pissed off.
Oh, I wouldn't mess with your mother. She's terrifying.
I know. Well, thank you. I grew up in that household. I'm well aware.
She treats me like I'm her son.
My angry father, yeah. Any day of the week.
Yeah. His mom treats me like the son that never calls. So it's like, I should really start calling your mom, because every time I see her, it's just like, you don't call, you don't write. I was like, I just sent you a picture of the baby. And she yelled at me.
Greg is... I'm part of Greg's family. Greg's part of my family.
We've it's been true.
Friends that long. We've been it's... friends longer than some of you in this podcast have been alive.
Actually, probably all of you.
We've been friends for 35 years.
Yeah.
Yep, that's long. I've been alive.
That sounds about right.
Ugh.
So I just wanted to ask our hosts here what your favorite match was out of any of those shows.
So I'm going to... Just for selfish reasons, it's the first match of the first one, because Devontae is one of my favorite people I've interviewed. He is so, you don't anticipate him being as well-spoken as he is, and he's such a guy.
Yes.
And Deshaun Pratt and I had this amazing conversation with Simon Gotch outside of a Synergy wrestling show. And, like, literally, for... almost an hour after the show, just listening to Simon talk about crazy conspiracy theory. So like, automatically we were just like, no. And Deshaun is actually one of the few wrestlers I have his cell phone number and can text him. but he texts as well as he does Twitter. And for those of you that don't know, he doesn't have Twitter.
So it's like just yelling at nobody.
Correct. Like, yeah, yeah. We've been trying to get him on since July. At some point, he'll respond to a text message, I swear.
Yeah, I hope so. And I agree. Devontae's does, it's kind of an interesting thing because when you look at him, when he just comes out for his entrance and so forth, he's just so intimidating. He looks like he's like a quiet kind of guy. But when you do like talk to him, it just seems like kind of like a different experience than what you would expect. And I think that he's a really great talent. You know, he also, I thought that he did better in the tag match with Jet Degory at the Halloween special. But his single stuff is good too. So it's pretty rare to find someone who can do both and execute it correctly.
What about you, Greg? You're on the spot now.
That's fine. I just because probably I watched it today and the concept behind it was equally as dumb as it was brilliant, which is hard to do. And that was the first match of the Halloween show, which was the Trick or Treat Smell My Feet tag team match, because it was I know, because it was you don't have candy, I'm gonna fight you about that. And then to get their comeuppance for somebody being ill prepared for Halloween and then, you know, having to smell gross feet, it's every kid's dream for somebody the house you would go up to that would be like, give you pennies. And it was just like, you have decorations, you know what today is, be prepared. And finally somebody got back for that. So yeah, you know, I liked that match. That was awesome.
Yeah. And who could forget the Sailor Moon costume?
Right. That too.
That definitely was the best costumes ever. A lot of people had great costumes like that. Individual that had the, giant T-Rex inflatable one, which every time I turned around, I thought it was like a statue, and then I saw there was a person inside, and I get scared. Shit out of me.
I would find myself like pausing it when they had the crowd shots and try to pick out the costumes and stuff. Like, who's that? Like, what are they dressed as? It was fun.
I think the best costume that I liked was Ryan Nova's chicken costume match is available. Yeah, that match I believe is available on the Camp Leapfrog Facebook page because those are the open swim matches. Yeah. So we will have like more of those going forward. Just kind of do it on like Facebook Live, but that's a very good four-way match, if I believe that's correct. So technically that was like the first match of the show. That was at least done, and I thought that was a really fun, entertaining one. Got a lot of good people in it.
So talk to us a little bit about the behind-the-scenes part of Camp Leapfrog, because I got to assume the stories about stuff that went on behind the scenes has got to be just as entertaining as the stuff that went on in front of the scenes. And Gina's laughing, so I know she's got something.
There's always something. Like, yes. There's always something going on. People are always getting into something.
There's always hiccups. You know, like, we lose people. We're just like, where's this guy? And he's gone. You know, shit like that. You know, normal shit, I think.
If it's Travis, it's him trying to solve the bear problem.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah, the bear problem went on for a long time. Well into the night, if I remember correctly.
And how many bears were there?
Oh, you know, the funny thing is, like, I'm not sure if that bear is a figment of his imagination, Bubbles. He keeps, like, tweeting at Bubbles, and at times I get confused because I don't see Bubbles. I don't think that bear really exists, and it's just a figment of his imagination. But sometimes Bubbles is there. It's a really weird situation with him and that bear. But the bear doesn't actually make an appearance on Camp Leapfrog, so whatever. I don't really care about it.
But yeah. Did it show up behind the scenes? Because that would be even better.
Oh, probably.
Oh, he did. He did, yeah.
Travis came and asked me if I had any sort of witch spells or charms that would eliminate his bear problem, and I did give him some advice. To Gina's point, I've never seen this bear, so...
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think that bear exists. I don't know.
I saw,
you know,
it
like
once.
Maybe that bear has like a similar stature to me. Maybe wears the same type of jacket, but I don't think that bear exists. But what I want to know, Brad, is how you could keep track of all the insanity it is of running a camp, especially for such a big one that we've been using.
It's like throwing like 10 cats in a big basket, shaking the shit out of it, dumping it out. That's what it's like. You gotta.
Archives does not encourage people to abuse animals. Just
no, okay.
Hey, don't do it.
I'm not talking about some dark shit here. I'm just saying, riling them up and then dumping them out. I guess a better term would be like you're in a boat and you're trying to shovel out water and you're sinking, kind of thing. That gets crazy, but it's perfect. We've got like a built-in safety net, and that built-in safety net is if shit gets too crazy, go out to the ring, handle it, and whatever happens, happens, and then that's it. That's the end of it. It's like what school should be. If you've got a problem with that kid, go fight that kid, and then we'll split you up, and you're like, sorry, kid, you got your ass beat. You lose. You know what I mean?
Brad, I need to ask a favor as owner of the camp.
Yes.
In your Christmas spectacular.
Yeah.
I need this to happen. Like, I'm literally begging.
Okay.
I need a spoiled eggnog match.
Spoiled eggnog?
Yeah. Because my buddy up there, if you didn't notice him bury his head in his hands, he can't watch anything that involves milk.
Okay, first of all, I've talked about this so much on the podcast. I really don't want to tell the story again. First of all, I'll tell it, but first I buried my head in my hands because that idea is stupid. And second of all, no, when I was a young boy, we were on vacation and I was enjoying some vanilla ice cream on a hot summer's day and a bird pooped on me. And I didn't know where the ice cream ended and the poop began. And ever since then, I've been like afraid of milk. So I don't eat like a lot of white foods. It's just traumatic experience.
Yeah. You were right. That was a disgusting story.
Yeah. I don't like. I don't like telling it, but like I used to, if I was forced to drink milk as a child, like I would chug it so it would go away, because I was just convinced that milk had like a shelf life of 4 minutes on the table before it went bad. Like it's psychological. I don't know how to explain it. It's just anything like sour cream. Get out of here with that. Blue cheese. No. Yeah, just none of that. Cottage cheese, go screw. No, it just doesn't work for me.
Yogurt?
Oh, God.
Really?
I am a manager for a very popular chain place that has barista stations, not Starbucks, but another one. That's the worst thing I have to do is make smoothies. It's horrible. Yeah, it's so bad. I can't deal with it. It's like just making like lattes and smoothies. It's traumatizing.
It's pretty odd, man.
I know.
It's so bad. Greg boycotted AEW after.
I didn't boycott.
Paige and Kenny Omega cheers with bourbon and milk, and milk got in the bourbon.
Okay. First of all, that was twofold, because not only did they use milk, but they ruined perfectly fine under the. Like inside of a closed stadium whiskey. All right. They didn't have, they didn't have to ruin it. All they had to do was drink it. They didn't have to add things to it to ruin it. Exactly. Thank you, Brad. You're on my team. I like that. But
I'm a firm believer of if there's dairy in it, you shouldn't be getting drunk off of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a recipe.
Yeah. As a bartender in my younger days, the bartender's Achilles heel is the mudslide, you would make up anything to get out of making it, because somebody would only order it on the busiest Friday night imaginable when you have so much other things to do, and now I have to make this 18 component dish and break out the blender. And it's like, you know what? Like, you don't even really like it. Like, stop. You're just ordering it because it has chocolate in it, and you're, yeah, you just heard of it, and you're like, ah, I want a mudslide. No, you don't. No, but you would make up, oh, we're out of ice cream, but you just served that guy ice cream. Well, whatever.
That was the last of it.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's all we had left. But, yeah, no. Anything with dairy and booze is bad. Like, no. Sorry.
No White Russians.
Oh, that's the grossest thing in the history of the world. Stop. And the only people...
One, because it's vodka.
Yeah.
Because there's heavy cream in it.
And the only people... Nobody drank that before The Big Lebowski came out. I'm sorry. It didn't. Nobody drank it. And now this is like, oh, it's in a movie. Let me try it. And they can be gross on their own time. Sorry, not mine. Why you got to fire me up like this, man?
Because I can. That's my
I'm
You need it. So you need to understand, Brad and Gina, when Kaya was on the show the first time, she got stuck with just me, which was still fun and great. I liked it.
It was.
But half of the fun of the DDTR guys is Chris getting Greg worked up, and then Greg just going on a rant about something completely random and off topic, and then we wind up discussing that with our guest for however long it goes.
I'm sorry.
So since alcohol.
God.
What is the drink of choice on the campground?
Whatever has alcohol in it, I think. You can get your hands on.
Kind of. There's like, you know, there's like a crowd that enjoys their craft beverages. Then there's like the light beer crowd. You know, we got the White Claw crowd. There's like a Fireball crowd. I think it's just like kind of bring your own. And then everybody's happy.
Yeah. Be wild me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also heard that after 9 o'clock, which is... post-work hours, Brad likes to drink some bug juice. That's a camp thing, right?
Yeah.
I actually don't drink at all, so I don't know what to do. It's just sometimes it's a little bit disconcerting to wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. and, you know, Brad's, like, passed out, you know, somewhere and just you know,
just
I can't get him up,
best,
you know. Shirt's inside out. And his underwear is over his pants. It's a typical Saturday morning.
Well, hi, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, we just got the guest of all guests when it comes to Camp Leapfrog. The founder and creator, Chris Levin, has joined us.
Awesome.
Up,
hey, man.
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for jumping on, man. So excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. It's my treat.
We have been discussing all the shenanigans of Camp Leapfrog and showing you how truly big of marks Greg and I are for the product. So I have recently pitched a spoiled eggnog match to fuck with Greg at the Christmas Spectacular. Kaya volunteered to be a part of that match.
Okay, but to be fair, it doesn't have to be spoiled either. It could be the freshest, best eggnog in the universe, and it would still gross me out. Like, it doesn't matter.
You know, I'm with Greg here. I tried eggnog once. Wasn't a fan. Wasn't my
thing. I made it once when I made it for, like, a work thing. When I was working at a hotel, I made it from, like, scratch. And I guess people liked it. They're like, oh, try it. I was like, no, this is for you. You people enjoy.
Match with you, eggnog would be a viable weapon. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Oh yeah. Anything. You wouldn't even need anything that obscure and that it would only work around the holidays. You could just get like 2% milk and some Greek yogurt, and I would run away, and you'd win. Like, that would be it.
But it's the holidays.
That's fair. That's fine.
Leapfrog is kind of like The Office in the sense that there's always a holiday going on. Like, mm-hmm. The Office, if you watch a TV show, The Office, it's always someone's birthday or it's always, like, a reason for a meeting. It's kind of the same as Leapfrog. There's always something going on.
Yep. it is, Chris, legitimately the most entertaining thing on IWTV and on television in general right now. Like, I said it at the beginning of this podcast. I'll say it again now because you just jumped in. When Kaya and I did our first episode when she was on our traditional Indie Lounge show, when we talked about Camp Leapfrog, first off, she was glowing. That's how much fun she had. And then I was just a complete and total mark. Like, to me, it was everything that I want in entertainment. If nothing was too serious, but then the action in the ring was still, while it was humor, it was still great wrestling action.
I appreciate that. You know what? We bring a lot in the Camp Leapfrog, and I think it's special for everyone. Because of what's been going on in 2020, we all need an outlet, and we all need community now more than ever. And, you know, as great as Camp Leapfrog is as a form of entertainment, I think it's even more important as a form of community for everyone involved. Because, you know, for a wide majority of the people involved, many of them hadn't had matches in months prior to going to camp. But more importantly, they hadn't seen each other in months. And when you're without your friends and without your family, that's just not a good place to be. I think a lot of us were in that place this past summer. I think there's a good chance a lot of us are going to be in that place again this upcoming winter. So I think that's why Camp Leapfrog is more important than ever. Because even if you're not physically at camp, I think you can still live through what you're seeing on screen and feel that environment, feel that inclusivity of everyone's welcome at Camp Leapfrog. And every time we go to camp, everyone goes to camp. We joins in to watch. It's not just us going and you watching us go. You're part of it too.
100%. You hit the nail on the head. Definitely watching it, you feel like you're a part of it. Like, it is that well done. How did you kind of come up with the concept? Because like, this is your brainchild. Like, we're not breaking the fourth wall here. Everybody knows that this is your brainchild. Where did it come from?
You know, I appreciate that. And inclusivity is kind of ingrained into the DNA of Camp Leapfrog. And, you know, I don't want to get too sappy or anything like that. I'll just say that I'm 28 now, and it took me about 26 or so years before I was a person who was comfortable with who I was and with my circle of friends. And prior to that, there was a lot of loneliness. I felt like you grow up watching on TV how holidays are supposed to look, how circles of friends are supposed to look, and I felt excluded a lot of the time, just because I hadn't found my people yet, you know? And I didn't really figure out who I was until I got into pro wrestling. And even then, it took me a few years of soul searching, of, you know, traveling from company to company, from territory to territory, to find out where I really and truly belonged. And once I figured that out, I kind of wanted to take that and extend that invitation to everyone watching at home. When I was a little kid, holidays were important to me, and they were special and they were magical because my parents made them special and magical. And as I grew older, they stopped being so special, they stopped being so magical. And I spent years and years trying to search for that. And you come to learn that it's not there unless you put it there. You need to create that magic. And that was the biggest thing for Leapfrog, for me at least, was to help create that magic, that same magic that I felt when I was watching the Rugrats Hanukkah special, or the same magic that I felt watching all these Christmas claymation films. Those all added to it for me. And just the hope that it can add just a little bit for everyone else, too.
That was so well said. I don't even know where to... Like, that was awesome. And, the idea of just bringing back the joy from here.
Yeah.
It is just, like... Because I turned 40 in a month, and you're absolutely right. Like, at some point, I guess I could say it now because my wife won't listen ever.
No.
I'm pregnant. I'll have a kid in May. And then I'll actually be able to, by the time this is released, she'll actually have allowed me to say it publicly.
Congratulations on that.
Awesome. Really, to me, the only part of the holidays right now that still feels special is the opportunity I get cook for my family, like that part, because anytime you cook, you bring joy to people. Let's be real, especially if you can actually do it. And thankfully, I can. Greg, I didn't kill anybody last weekend. I know to cook the stuffing first.
I'm sorry. I'm a licensed food safety expert, sir. I have to ask.
I'm looking forward to, when I become a dad, to making those holidays special because they are.
You do.
Look, the magic obviously comes out as you get older. Like, there's no, it's just natural. But to find that again is something that I look forward to. And you're right. Like, when I heard that the Halloween special was coming, I was genuinely excited. And the first one was awesome because really there wasn't a whole lot of wrestling going on, and it was something different, right? Like, especially not wrestling without an audience, to me, is just, it's been very tough because I think the crowd is an integral part of the story. But then watching Camp Leapfrog and having the campers surrounding the ring, it felt like there was this huge audience because it was so tight-knit. And then when the Halloween special came out and wrestling had kind of been back on the indie scene, I was curious to see how it would translate. And you hit another home run. Like, and go ahead, Greg.
And I was going to say, like, just like the opening bits of the Halloween special – was it just took me back to like sneaking in my basement and watching like Tales of the Crypt when I wasn't allowed to, or like Elvira or something. It just took me like, and that's where the magic comes from. When you can connect with somebody on something that they remember from when they were a kid, like you were talking about it, you know,
at too young. They don't know who Elvira is.
I don't care. Look at
Elvira. Made city.
Yeah, she doesn't. She hasn't aged. She's actually a vampire. She hasn't aged, but you know, it's just. But to have that connect with somebody on such a personal level, because, like you said, all those things are so personal to you. Everyone has those different experiences, but if you can just hit one note, you're it's sold. You're done. It doesn't. You can hit on one thing and you're hooked. And that's what happened with me. So kudos to you on that, because it was just it was remarkable. Like the feelings you get when you just watch that, and you're like, oh my God, this is just like what something that I loved when I was a kid.
I appreciate that. And you know what? One of the things I've always preached to everyone within professional wrestling is versatility. And so many people, you hear that they eat, sleep, and breathe professional wrestling, which is cool if that's your thing. But if you want to be a successful person in professional wrestling, you need to take in more than just professional wrestling. You need to look at what we do is, because it's really easy to be fooled and say that what we do is professional wrestling, but that's not what we do. We're storytellers. And there are so many sources of storytelling beyond professional wrestling, whether it's movies, whether it's watching Tales from the Crypt with John Cassier, who we were able to sneak in a little audio cameo from him. Whether it's TV, whether it's books, whether it's a painting, paintings tell stories, games tell stories, and all of these things each tell stories in their own way. And if you're only telling a story in one way, it's going to become just one track, one mind. And if you look at how all these other places are successfully telling stories in different mediums, you can take from them. And take from the best of that and add it to your world. And I think every single great boom in professional wrestling history, we've seen that. Whether it's the early in professional wrestling, when it took from legitimate sports. Then in the late 40s, early 50s, it took from what was going on in television and made it more episodic. And then the 80s, we saw like everything that was just big and Americana. It took that and it went wild. And then everything got edgier in the 90s. And now in the modern era, everything's about people power and about what you as a fan want to see. And it's always taking from these diverse mediums and bring it in. And that's something that's always been very important to me, always. And, I mean, with Leapfrog, it might sound silly, but I was doing a watch through of a cartoon from when I was a kid called As Told by Ginger. And while we were watching that, there was an episode called Summer of Caprice, which was the end of the first season. And watching it, it was like a summer camp themed episode. It was like a two-parter or three-parter. and I was just having so much fun, and there was a sense of nostalgia. And you know what? It was a sense of nostalgia for something I never experienced, because growing up, when you got to sixth grade, everyone packed up and they went to the cabins a half hour from where I lived down in the Pine Barrens in South Jersey, and they discontinued it when I right when I got to sixth grade, so I never got to experience it. And it was like, wow, all this seems so fun, and it seems like it's something I've been to before, even though I never have. And it's like, how can I take all of these awesome feelings that I have right now, and how can I make a professional wrestling event evoke them from people? And that was kind of what the first Leapfrog was all about. And it was also a big thing was I'm in the middle of writing a book, and it's not going to be out anytime soon, but it's the Encyclopedia of Professional Wrestling and Film. And for that, I'm watching every single movie that's ever featured professional wrestling. And there's a lot, and it's a big variety. And seeing how they did things in the 30s, seeing how they did things in Japan in the 90s, seeing how they did things in Mexico in the 60s, you're seeing all this versatility, different ways of storytelling, different ways of telling stories with professional wrestling. And while I'm never going to say that I am a great aggregator, or I'm the best one at doing it, that's been my goal, is to take all the best from all of that, and sometimes intentionally the worst of all of that, and putting it into a ball and letting Leapfrog hop out, no pun intended. The first one, I was really happy with how it went. Now, obviously, there's a lot I learned from it. I went into it knowing this is an experiment, and if it comes out not being good, that's fine, because there's a lot I can take from it to make the next one better. And, I think that the one thing I've heard from people who watched the first one and then the second, whether they're fans or whether they were part of the production, was how dramatically there was an uptick in the quality, because we learned so much about pacing a narrative, because we learned about how to shoot things with dynamic camera angles, or how to add music into it to set the tone. And I'm excited to keep learning. I'm excited to keep getting together with my friends and making something special. And we're making something special together, and it's special for other people too, the more and more I hear about it. And that feels great to hear. We've created a new system of filming that is kind of based off of the 90s Raws, how they would film AB formats. And with that, hopefully, if current conditions in the world allow, we'll be able to make us release new Leapfrog content every month. Hopefully. We'll see.
Let's hope.
We hope so. 100% hope so. And Kurt, I gotta say this, man, just listening to you talk for the last 10 minutes, like, for a 28-year-old, you're the most well-spoken 28-year-old. Unbelievable. Like, I see why Kaya lights up when she talks about this. Why Matt gets so excited. Why Tina jumped in on the opportunity to join this podcast today. I don't think Gina knew we existed before an hour or something.
That means a lot to me, because again, not to make this too much about all of my psychological issues, but there was a lot of insecurities that I dealt with coming into Camp Leapfrog. Growing up, I had a stutter. I mumbled a lot. It was like I had marbles in my mouth. And to this day, that's something I still have an issue with. And I also had an issue with, I felt up until very recently like I was infantilized a lot. Like, people would look at me and say, whether it's because you're a referee, or whether because you're a young guy, or because you look young, or you're just not a big person, because I'm only 5'8" and 140 pounds. I felt like people have always looked for reasons to kind of dismiss what I have to say. And now that I've kind of found a community that likes what I have to say, that means a lot. And it's a responsibility that I take very seriously, because, I have a lot of people at Leapfrog who are colleagues and friends, like Gina, like Ty, like Brad, who are, in their late 20s or early 30s, and they've kind of figured things out. They're adults. But there's just as many young and impressionable talent who, after everything that happened this past summer, they suddenly found that they didn't have a home. They didn't have that guidance or mentorship to lead themselves through professional wrestling. And losing that, for some people, it might have just been they lose another booking, or maybe they lose a hobby. But just to go back to what we said before, that's not just that for Lapio, that's community. Those are their only friends. That's what they do. That's what they go to work for and clock in those hours and live for, so they can go and achieve their dreams with their friends. And being able to enable that, to say, hey, you didn't lose everything. Doesn't matter, you know, let's call it Camp Leapfrog. Camp Leapfrog isn't a place, it's a people. And having all of these people that can come together and say, we can still do this, and we can do it better than we did it before, and we can do it safely, is my top priority. And I think a lot of people say that, or a lot of people suggest things like that performatively, publicly. And I would bet every ounce of my credibility on the fact that I don't think a single person within Camp Leapfrog who has done any matter of business with me would say that's performative. That's something I believe in very sincerely.
Been going for a little over an hour now, and I want to kind of start wrapping it up so we respect everybody's time. But this is something that I definitely, especially after the Christmas episode airs, I'd love to get this group back together again to kind of continue to share the stories, because I got to be honest, this is some of the most fun I've had recording, just because it's so different. And you all bring unique components. By all means, consider this an invitation to come back and join us again real soon. And why don't you guys plug your social media, plug upcoming episodes, because I know you have we're probably releasing this probably mid-December, so there will be a third one out there on IWTV leading towards the fourth. So,
I'll just say that given the current circumstances of the world, nothing is certain. And as of now, currently on the schedule, we have two events coming up, and that is going to be Leapfrog Live, Sam Laterna's Slumber Party. That's going to be airing on November 28th, and hopefully everything goes off without a hitch. And that's going to be airing on the Independent Wrestling Facebook page, which is owned by IWTV. We're going to be streaming that live. It's going to be an hour-long special, and it's going to be a radical experiment. We're just doing that with one camera, and it's just, there's going to be matches, there's going to be games, there's going to be everything you'd expect for a slumber party, and all of the Camp Leapfrog fun, plus professional wrestling matches on top of that. So hopefully the world allows us to conduct that event. And then following that, on Christmas Eve, we're going to have our special Christmas Trios special. Now, again, hopefully the world lets that happen. Maybe it's going to come that by time this has been released, that had to be postponed. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether it happens on Christmas Eve, whether it happens in January or February. Christmas Trios is happening. That is for sure. And otherwise, you can find me at Ref Chris Levin on social media, and that's Chris McKay because my parents are difficult. And you can find everything Camp Leapfrog at Camp Leapfrog on Twitter. And I'll let Gina, where can they find you on social media?
Wow, damn, Brad, you got excited about that. I am a hard copy foo, which is HARDCOPYFU. That's the funniest part. On Twitter and IG. So I also have a non-existing IWTV show, apparently. So an episode 2 maybe popping up of the Gina show that is ridiculous and I hate it, but it might exist. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you very much for having me on. No, it's not. It's a terrible thing. But I might as well get some sort of value out of it. So please watch my torture and my pain. I would love that very much.
Rad, you're up.
I had to actually look, man. I don't know my shit right off the bat. Brad, the letter F in Rush on Twitter. That's it. That's kind of like Brad fucking Rush, but I wanted to be a little bit more friendly and not put the F word in it. And I'm just Brad Rush on Facebook. Hopefully, the next time you see me, I'll be kicking some ass at Christmas Trios. If not, I will. I think I can talk about it. I have a one final pizza party show I'm booked on before the end of the year, thank God. And you know, I'm just super grateful. Thanks for having me on here. Thank you, Chris, for including me in Leapfrog. It was a pleasure, you know.
We're lucky to have you.
Well, you do own the camp, Red, so.
I do own the camp, right? I agree to bringing campers, you know. Kaya, you're up.
All right. Yeah, once again, big thanks to Chris for inviting me along on this adventure. Camp Leapfrog has just been such a blast to be a part of. So, hats off to you, my friend. But I am on Twitter and Instagram. My handle on both platforms is at KayaMCK. So it's KayaMCK. So you can always catch up with me there. And I guess I should start maybe figuring out if I'm going to have to assemble a team or not for Christmas, because you never know what's going to happen at Leapfrog.
And special shout out to Kaya's mom for driving her safely from Washington, D.C. so that she could participate in this. So thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Kaya's mom.
Well, that wouldn't be
pretty rad.
Be a true camp special without a mom appearance, right? Come on. You can follow us at DDT Archives on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at @capo_DDT. I just followed Gina and Chris, and hopefully I'll get the follow back. Again, keep doing what you're doing. We absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been the top shelf of the DDT Archive Indie Lounge. We are incredibly excited to see where everything goes with Camp Leapfrog. And hopefully one day, maybe we'll be invited to camp too.